Yeah, Coritz, what from the provincial perspective, what are the what's on the initiative this year for the provincial association?
With I think OFA is always chasing the ecological goods and services angle of things, and you know I think it's growing increasingly. I just add to Mark's comments, though. I mean, the region's kind of unique in that, in some respects, the rural water quality program sort of hits on a lot of the things that you would want to see in a ecological goods and services side of things. They are, you know, the region and Grand River Conservation Authority recognized over a decade ago that the value that farmers can add to keeping water clean before it gets to the city and the city needs to use it. And in fact, quite often it's a lot easier to make sure the supply coming in is clean as opposed to deal with the really heavy bricks and mortar problems of cleaning it up, you know, yeah. Once it's into an urban environment. So
yeah, the Ontario Rural Water Quality Program for the region is arguably highlights or one of the made in special first in Ontario made in Waterloo type solutions to modern problems. And you know, in a nutshell, as Gord pointed out, was it's cheaper to keep the water clean at the beginning than it is trying to treat everything that comes down the pipe.
Should emphasize, Jeff, that it's a voluntary program, so that farmers are not made to participate in it, they choose to participate. So if a farmer has a stream that runs through his fields and his property, he is given some incentive money from the region, which is urban people's money, and he can use that money to plant trees along the stream bank to keep the stream bank from eroding. He can plant grasses and so on and put a buffer strip between that stream and his field so erosion doesn't occur and the stream is muddied up.
Where will this program end up? As you mentioned, right now it's an incentive-based program. And basically the farmer still has to rely on his incomes from the selling of corn and chickens to do this. Is that sustainable?
Well, we wouldn't ask for this program to take the place of the income that we produce from growing crops and livestock. It's a supplement to the other income that we make.
That's true. And would that be for some time, or do you think that's what it is for now, which is great?
Well, it's been
just a little crystal ball gazing, if you think.
It's been 10 years, or is it 11 years, and there's still very good uptake in the community. The city and the Grand River Conservation Authority appear to be still enthusiastic about the program, and it appears to be improving water quality out in the countryside. So I would certainly hope, and I think a number of other farmers hope, that it would continue.
And I guess in terms of, you know, what's the value of the ecological goods and services? So, I mean, there are some interesting studies that have been done. There was one done just next door over in the Greenbelt recently for the David Suzuki Foundation a couple of years back. And it had a look at trying to place actual monetary estimates on what this is worth. And if you took some of the figures that they have there that were applied to agriculture, so agriculture was seen in a positive position as far as providing eco goods and services in that study, and tried to cross-reference that to the census data for land, for farmland in the Waterloo region, you'd actually come up with a value of about $91 million a year. That's provided, and that's some of the things that Mark mentioned. It's habitat for pollinators that, again, are critical to a large number of our agricultural crops, right? So $91 million. So that would be a pretty steep bill, I think. I don't think any farmer's expecting that anytime soon, right? It's still not nearly what the region's farmers produce in farm gate receipts, but it's significant year after year, right?
Well, we'll talk some more about that later on. What's some of the other topics? Risk management program, when you guys want to mention about risk management program, where we're at there, been excellent. All of the provincial parties support it. What a great situation for agriculture in the Waterloo region as part of the Ontario agriculture that numerous groups got together and support a program. Can you want to speak about the risk management program a bit, Mark, if possible?
Well, it's a bit of an insurance program for farmers, income insurance. As you may or may not know, that the price of what we grow, both in terms of crops and livestock, tends to go up and down. Sometimes we make money, sometimes we lose money. An insurance program ensures that when times are good, we put money into the program, and when times are bad, we can withdraw money from the program. It kind of evens out our income, so we can all live kind of in the same way that city people live, with who get a wage every day or every week.
Well, you know, of course, people in the city have the non-farm persons have their own challenges with their work, with layoffs and the like. And there's, anything else you can add to why this program works for a farmer? Let's say, what used to happen? Why is this better than what used to be? Like at one time, there's just an ad hoc program. Whenever something went wrong, they would pitch in, but with this...
I think a planned program is always better than an ad hoc program.
Okay.
When there's a disaster, and that would be in terms of what would it be? It would be a drought or too much rain or a windstorm or a hailstorm or something like that. Then farmers would be in kind of a dire predicament, and we would go to the government and say, hey, can you help us out? And I think the government kind of gets tired of that sometimes. Why have that when you can have a program that's planned out and is available for farmers whenever there's a problem, and not available when there isn't a problem?
Yeah, and this is good for the consumer. You know, they can look at regular food prices and so on, and fits in with that too, I think. Income stability, like if the farmers can make a living, then they don't have to have these huge price increases for upstream to they have some. They'll be around for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a standardized income. I've worked off the farm too, and it's nice to have a paycheck every week. It can be quite difficult when all of a sudden you have a year when your crop fails and you have virtually nothing. How do you live?
Yeah. Well,
and I guess even how do you plan a good, how do you even implement a good business plan when you have that huge variation in income in a given year and unpredictability as well too. And I think the other thing about the risk management programs that are being suggested by the farm industry, so let's be clear of where it's coming from, as opposed to being dictated to by bureaucrats who maybe have actual skin in the game. I think that's an important aspect to look at here, and there's an attempt here to try to correct some of the inadequacies that might have been in other programs that made it, almost as unpredictable as farming itself as to whether you were going to see a check or not out of some of the other programs. So,
okay, well, let's leave on that note. We'll take a little break here, play another tune, and we'll see you in a few minutes. This is 100.3 CKMS Sound FM, and today you're listening to the Agriculture Show, and this is your host, Jeff Steger, and we're glad to have you aboard. See you in a bit.
Yes, sir. That's the place where all the bad cats meet. Man, you better be careful when you take your seat. Now blow, Johnny.
Back, folks. That's the song Chicken Shack by Larry O'Hampton. Great classic song. You're at 100.3 CKMS. This is the Agriculture Show. This is your host, Jeff Steger, and with me today is Mark Reeser. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Gord.
Hey, Jeff.
Glad you guys can make it out today. We're going to try to put a voice and to the agriculture in the Waterloo region. There's 1,444 census farms in the Waterloo region and produce a wide variety of products. We had just briefly been talking a little bit about policy issues, and that is with the Ecological Goods and Services and the Risk Management Program. But there's another side to agriculture in the Waterloo region. All the activities going on. I've asked our co-host here, Mark Reeser, to look over an announcement list, and would you like to give us some of the activities that are going on in the region?
Well, I'll do one, Jeff. That's kind of interesting too. It's another example of some of the good things farmers are doing for the environment. And there's a relatively new program in the countryside whereby farmers can recycle all of their plastic wrap. Many of you may have seen on the countryside, farmers wrap up their hay and their silage in white plastic. Sometimes you see them sitting out in the field like a great big long giant tube. There's cattle feed inside those in that plastic wrap. And one of the things we're doing is recycling it. So instead of burning it or taking it to the landfill and filling up the landfill, we're taking it to a company that is recycling it into things like lawn furniture and other plastic products. So another example of good things that farmers are doing.
All right. Gord, you're busy pecking away at your laptop there. Have you found some other activities we ought to make note to our urban and rural listeners?
Well, I'm just thinking of things that are coming up, and people should be keeping an eye out for farm show business. One of the closest happening would be over at the University of Guelph campus, and I think that's Farm Smart that'll be occurring a couple of weeks from next Saturday. And certainly, if you get on and Google Farm Smart, that'll pop for you. It's one of those events. Very similar to what's going on this week, Southwest Ag Conference down in the Southwest. A lot of great speakers, so certainly farmers can take just a little bit of time and catch any number of talks. There are about six or so talks going on at any one time during the course of the day. So Farm Smart's close by, just over at the University of Guelph campus. It's coordinated by the local Soil and Crop Improvement Associations, a great opportunity to try to get up to speed and pick up on a few topics. If you're farming, don't have a lot of time and aren't committed to the skating rink on Saturday.
It's also something that urban people might be interested in, Jeff. Learn about new and innovative things happening in agriculture. Lots of great things are happening in agriculture today. That's the place to go if you want to hear about it.
All right, that's great. I was just talking with a friend of mine as I was coming up here, who is another part of our agricultural scene in the Waterloo region here. She's at the Community Shared Agriculture Program. This is her third or fourth year, and in our industry, it's often hard to bring along new people, but this is an amazing. It's one of the few young people I know that actually started a farm on their own. That was one of the things in that we wanted to do with this next round of consultations with MPs is we want to emphasize programs that will encourage young farmers.
It's becoming an older and older industry, Jeff. The average age of farmers in Ontario, I believe, is 55 or 56. We need new people. There are opportunities there. We just have to encourage people to get in there.
See that, I think there's a web link on the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food website that how to start a farm in Ontario. I think we looked at that at our last board meeting, right? And where did we see that? It was about 10 pages long and talked about picking certain soils. And are you familiar with what I'm talking about there? It was kind of cute.
Perhaps it seemed a little bit outdated. Times change in agriculture, and perhaps one of the bright areas in agriculture right now is the production of local food. And I think you'll find that there are a number of younger people entering the business and producing local food for sale at local farmers markets or at the roadside or even in CSAs, like you mentioned before. And for those of you who don't know what CSAs are, they are community shared agriculture, where you pay a certain amount of money up front to the farmer, and in return you get to share in the produce from that farm for the whole productive year.
You two guys are with the Federation of Agriculture. Maybe you can speak to the fact that our local branch of the Federation supports the Food Link cause each year. If I'm not mistaken, it's two parts. One is a donation to their Buy Local, Buy Fresh map, and also we buy tickets to their Buy Local, Eat Fresh. What's that?
Local, Eat Fresh, I believe it's called. A great event held annually in St. Jacob's, an outdoor event where individual farmers are paired up with chefs in Waterloo Region, and the farmer provides a product, either of livestock or a crop of some kind, and the chef prepares it. And if you want to participate in the event, you buy a ticket, and you get to taste the result.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us as farmers in the Waterloo region to connect with our urban neighbors. And, of course, what a special place the region of Waterloo is with 500,000 people and the type of technology and resources base here that's a shining example of city development and opportunity with our high-tech sector, matched up with a beautiful countryside within a five-mile drive. If this isn't one of the best places in Ontario to live, I don't know where it would be.
Well, it's a fun event too, Jeff. You can go there and meet actual farmers who produce your food, and you can meet actual chefs who prepare the food. It's great fun.
Yeah. Did you pick up any recipes when you were there, Mark?
Well, I didn't ask for them because I'm not sure they'll share them because they're, you know, chefs are with their recipes. They tend to keep them secret, but I can mimic them and copy them when I get home.
Just out of curiosity, did you grow a garden this year again with your heritage vegetables and things on your chicken farm?
I do. It's kind of my hobby. I produce chickens to make a living, and I fool around in my garden for fun.
Yeah.
It keeps me sane.
That's good. We all could use that kind of thing.
I grow all kinds of oddities in my garden. It's kind of fun. I've been growing heritage varieties of tomatoes and watermelons for about probably 25 years or more. And I just get a kick out of growing something that's unusual and something different than what you find normally in the grocery store.
That's great. And Gord, I don't know, I remember, I don't think you're doing it now, but you were in the honey business for a while.
Absolutely, Jeff.
And while it was still a reasonable thing to do, it was great fun, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I, I, uh, Hope to get back to it as a gentleman beekeeper, maybe with a little retirement income coming in. I think that's probably the way for me to slide back into that. Great for tendonitis and arthritis too, right? Since I've kind of laid off the bees and not getting the bee stings, I'm starting to seize up in spots.
Oh.
But so we may have to go back to bees for medicinal purposes. But you know, it's interesting. You know, the local food creates all kinds of opportunities for a lot of different people, and certainly the beekeeping industry is one example where it's very difficult to sort of get into it. Especially at the level to make a living of that exclusively, you need to, I guess, look for niche markets. If you know, unless you can get up to a very substantial size mm-hmm. that you can start hiring the lawyers that you need to negotiate with the you know, the major distributors and get into, you know, try to make a break into the chain store side of the business. It's one of those industries. It's where you can integrate all the way up. But not without some great challenges. So it's local food has a lot to offer. A lot of people like Mark who are maybe working the usual 9-to-5, but would like to get into farming, right? Mark's got chickens, so you know,
yeah,
he's doing well that way. I hope, right? And.
He looks to be his usual self.
There's something you said there, Gord, that kind of interested me. Were you, in fact, advocating bee stings as a cure for arthritis? Did I hear that correctly?
Only when you apply them yourself with your own bees, Mark. I never recommend that you try to turn that into a business. I could try that as a business plan just for fun and go to my broker to see just what it's going to cost me to get insured to provide stings to the general public. But no, I don't recommend it other than if you just happen to be beekeeping anyway.
It seems to me it'd be a pretty hard sell.
I noticed you were busy in your laptop again, Gord. Have you found something you wanted to mention? We're going to go to break here pretty soon, play another tune or two, and maybe if you got something you want to speak, or else we'll just wait till after the next song and if you have some station ID.
Let's pick it up after the next tune.
Okay. Thanks. You're at 100.3 CKMS Sound FM. This is the Agriculture Show. This is a 1 hour show at Agriculture and World of the Region, and we're glad to have you aboard on your drive home tonight, or whether you're at beside your internet radio. And we'll be back shortly. We're going to play a tune and see you in a bit.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, "Now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans told Cornbread, "You ain't straight.
Beans.
You better wake up or I'll gas you gate.
Beans.
Been in this pot since 2:30.
Beans.
Swelling and puffing and almost due.
Beans.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready
Cornbread
tomorrow night.
Beans.
That's what Beans told Cornbread.
Beans.
Always get mad at me.
Beans.
I ain't mad at you.
Cornbread.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
Grab Cornbread by the toe.
Beans.
Beans said, "Cornbread, let me go."
Beans.
Cornbread said, "I'll lay you low.
Beans.
I'm gonna fight you, so and so.
Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night."
That's what Beans said to Cornbread. You're so
meet
bad, you always want to fight.
Meet me
on the corner tomorrow night.
Meet
and I'm gonna beat the devil out of you. On the corner tomorrow night.
Beans
hit Cornbread on the head.
Beans.
Cornbread said, "I'm almost dead."
Beans,
Beans told Cornbread, "Get up, man.
Beans.
You know that we go hand in hand."
Beans and Cornbread. Beans and Cornbread, hand in hand.
Beans. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
Cornbread.
We should stick
Beans
together hand in hand.
Hand.
We should hang out together like wieners and sauerkraut. We should stick together like hot dogs and mustard. We should get up every morning and hang out together like sisters and brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every Saturday night, we should hang out like chitlins and potato salad.
Yeah.
Like strawberry and shortcake.
Yeah.
Like corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Like liver and onions.
Yeah.
Like red peas and rice.
Yeah.
Like bagel and lox.
Yeah.
Like sour cream and Benson.
Yeah.
Like bread and butter.
Yeah.
everything about you.
Hey!
We should hang out together like hotcakes and molasses.
Hey!
That's what beans say to cornbread. Cause beans and cornbread, they go hand in hand.
Well, we're back, folks. We're going to just continue on our conversation here, and hopefully we've gone to the last little bit of our show already by chance. It's 4:45. I'd like to once again welcome my guests, Mark Reeser and Gord Grant. So in that little break there, we listened to Beans and Cornbread by Louis Jordan, a famous player from way back when. That's what makes you hungry, you know, it's supper time. Mark, you mentioned something you wanted to talk about before our show is over today. It's a little bit about the price of food.
Well, we've been kind of inundated in the media with the higher cost of food lately. The higher price for corn, higher price for soybeans, higher price for meat, higher price for the food basket in your grocery store. And people from time to time in urban setting complain about that. And I wanted to give perhaps a little bit of a rural perspective or a farmer perspective to that higher price of food. We look at it as kind of a good thing. For the first time in a large number of years, we're actually making some money. And I think making a living is what a profession is all about. And I would certainly not apologize to anyone for providing high-quality, healthy food for everyone.
Seems reasonable. I think we're still at, 10 or 12% of our average Canadian's income goes to food.
We don't pay very much of our income for food.
Yeah, most of the world pays more, unfortunately, for the basics of life. But even in the more, the other G8 countries like in Europe, they're still up to 20 to 25%, I think, of their income goes to buying their necessities to eat. And we have a different system here in North America, and we're used to having food cheap and cheaper and cheaper. But the good news is, we can, as farmers, we can do anything the public wants. We can do anything you want. We are the experts. It just is we have to make a living at it. And so right now we have the consumer is paying 10% on their food average cost, and that's a fair balance between price and uniqueness, or price and quality, but anything the consumer wants, we can do. So that's the good news, folks.
And Canadian Federation of Agriculture usually just around about this time does a calculation to find when Food Freedom Day is, and that's the day that the average household, or the number of days the average household needs to work over the course of the year in order to make enough to buy their groceries for the year. And despite the chat in the media about increasing prices, Food Freedom Day hasn't changed for 2012. It's still February the 12th, and that's what it was last year. So,
So by February 12th, the average person has made enough in wages to cover their entire food bill for the year.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So, Gord, you were looking around at something that caught your eye that you wanted to maybe pass on to our listeners.
Well, it's sort of New Year, so I've been trying to clean up the backlog in the office and came across the last issue of the Ontario Farm Animal Council and AgCare's Update magazine. For those that don't know, the Ontario Farm Animal Council is an umbrella group of livestock commodities, and they're devoted to trying to get a message across to the realities of farming in Ontario. Certainly a lot of special interest groups are busy trying to shape their picture of what agriculture is about, and my experience over the years is that OFAC and AgCare have done a good job for producers, sort of outlining what the real facts are behind a lot of issues. And this one is the last issue because OFAC and AgCare are getting together and forming Farm and Food Care Ontario. And out of interest to help in that support, one of our local businesses, Wallenstein Feed and Supply Limited, was good enough to make a large donation to the Farm Care Foundation. So my hats off to Wallenstein Feed and Supply for supporting a group that does an excellent job of getting the message across to the general public about what farming is really all about. And I'd encourage people in the coming soon and under construction now is a website that'll help with that, which will be www.farmfoodcare.org. So that's farmfoodcare.org. Of course, you could just put in farm and food care in your Google, and hopefully that'll pop with some really good information, especially if, you know, you're hearing, I mentioned that partly, Dr. David Sparling, out of the University of Western Ontario, who is the Ivy School of Business, has valued agriculture to the point of actually having a chair who looks at the industry. We don't often think of University of Western Ontario being an ag college. We look to Guelph, but things are changing. The value of this industry is being recognized. And one address that I've heard him, the comment that I made in a recent, or that he made in a recent address, was really the general public seems to have two views, sort of the Charlotte's Web, old MacDonald kind of farm, or the kind of farm portrayed in exposés like Food Inc. So, you know, we seem to be at a point where the general public is viewing farms in two extremes, and so something like food and or Farm and Food Care Ontario, I think, could go a long ways to being a trusted place to go to find out what the real facts are about farming in Ontario.
Well, when we were doing our last tour of the MPPs, we handed out the Real Dirt on Farming version 2, which we're very proud of as an industry to have. It's the farmer's take on the issues that we believe are current to the public, to the consumer. And we look forward to doing that again this time with the provincial MPPs. Always our business is as much the production as is the education. And we're glad to do that. What's happening in the local federation? There was the annual meeting last October, and our guest speaker was Steve Martin with Martin's Apples. That went well, folks, you think?
Oh, Steve. Steve is a great guy and a great entrepreneur and a great spokesman for agriculture in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his family's organization is now the largest producer of apples in Canada, and good quality apples too.
Yeah.
And if you ever want some, he's available at the Waterloo Market the St. Jacob's Market every Saturday morning.
I think Steve actually got an award from our local Chamber of Commerce a couple of 3 years ago under one of their categories for their business awards. So good for him. That's good. That's good for him. Yeah. Tonight is the monthly meeting for the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. You want to speak about the local federation a bit, how often they meet, and that sort of thing, Gord, please.
This is as a staff member, I get to and Mark as the director for the area. We get 3 a month of these local federation meetings. So tonight is Waterloo's down at the new Wilmot Community Center, and I guess earlier this week we were at Wellington's, and next Tuesday night we'll be off to Dufferin Federation. So people are probably not aware that. There's a federation of agriculture in every county, and the boards meet every month, and it's just amazing the amount of work when you start looking at that effort across the province collectively, how much gets done, how mm-hmm. much gets discussed, how many things are caught and dealt with before they turn into a problem for the industry. So it's. It's always interesting to see what's gonna hit the board table at any one of these monthly meetings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good to know. Okay, fellas. Well, we're just about into our show here. It's 5 to 5. 1 hour slips by pretty quick. And thank you again very much for coming. This is 100.3 CKMS Sound FM. Mark, you're busy as usual. What's on your agenda this week after today's in the farm business?
I'm going to be filling out my HST, which I do biannually.
Yeah.
Always lots of fun. One of the things that farmers do, just like other business people.
Yeah. From a director's point of view, what have you got going with the Ontario Federation where you have to what projects are you doing this month? You'll have a monthly meeting for them?
Monthly meeting, always looking after items that are in the best interest of agriculture.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything special this month. I guess I'll find out when we get the agenda.
Any issues that would be of interest to Waterloo farmers? I know it's kind of... Not that they all aren't, but of course, from time to time, provincial issues do impact local counties and federations more than others.
Well, one thing we're always interested in is farm safety. As your listeners might not know, our workplace is our home, and we're always concerned that those are safe workplaces and safe homes, and always working to make sure that people aren't hurt and can work and function in a safe way.
Yeah, that's good. Gord, what's new on your end of the work pipeline here? You're off of Christmas holidays like the rest of us, and now it's time to gear up for various federations and banquets and farm shows and things. What do you have to do up to the next couple of 3 weeks?
Well, I think this is going to be a pretty busy year. We have a lot of shows going on. So I mentioned Farm Smart, but there's also the Toronto Farm Show coming up, and then the London Farm Show, Ottawa Farm Show. There's easily a dozen or so that OFA has a presence at over the course of the year, and often it's a staff member pegged to determine with some direction from the board what that presence is going to be. And
What about any Waterloo activities you're busy with? What Waterloo activities are you busy, you're planning for the next few
months? Well, the Waterloo board has been discussing whether or not to do their annual or biannual farm and food tour, and who the special guests may or may not be.
Oh,
so
yes.
there is some planning that has to go into that well in advance. So certainly that's an opportunity to bring the political folks out from many levels of government and create an opportunity for dialogue and to experience some real Waterloo farms and some real Waterloo issues on those farms.
Okay. Well, thanks, fellas. One last thing, Mark. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you ate today, thank a farmer.
That's true. Well, you're at 100.3 CKMS Sound FM. Thanks for being aboard with us today. This is your host, Jeff Steger. Thanks, Mark, for coming out. Thanks, Gord, for coming out.
Glad to be here.
Good.
See you later, Jeff.
All right. Okay, folks, that's it for us. We'll send you back to our usual programming, and have a safe evening, and see you later. Thank you.
you're part of me still. For you were my thrill on Blueberry Hill. For you were my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
My father was a blue nose, and his dad through and through. My mother, she's a blue nose, and her mother's mother too. We live in Nova Scotia, where the sea and sky are blue. And when they call us blue nose, we're gall dang proud they do. From Sydney through to Yarmouth Town, and all points in between, it's just a magic picture book, the like you never seen. And the pioneer who settled here and gave this land the name, if he was called Blue Nose, I want to be called the same. For we turned the wheels of industry before the days of oil, when the Nova Scotia miners gave the world their precious coal. And we built the fastest sailing ship that ever sailed the sea. And if that was called Blue Nose, that's good enough for me. My father was a blue nose, and his dad through and through. My mother, she's a blue nose, and her mother's mother too. We live in Nova Scotia, where the sea and sky are blue. And when they call us blue nose, we're gall dang proud they do. Now you might work in Halifax or make Cape Breton steel, but there's a bond between us all we understand and feel. And the world has seen our brothers who went off to fight the war, and if they were called Blue Nose, could we be something more? Down where the seafoods are the finest, always grade A number one, and the orchards of Annapolis, they're the second best to none. We love you, Nova Scotia, may you stand forever proud. And when they call you Blue Nose, just smile and take a bow. My father was a blue nose, and his dad through and through. My mother, she's a blue nose, and her mother's mother too. We live in Nova Scotia, where the sea and sky are blue. And when they call us Blue Nose, we're gall dang proud they do. We live in Nova Scotia, where the sea and the sky are blue. And when they call us Blue Nose, we're gall dang proud they do. Yeah.
studio recording bootleg live or alternate take. I put my blues on a budget. I put my blues on a budget. 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 Oh, spend my life away. Before I